KO4CEF mobile.
Was that KO4CEF? I heard W4DJW.
Chris May, how you doing, Dave?
I thought that was you. I was in the other room. I've been working on the lawnmower. I was going to sharpen the blades, but the spindles, one's wobbly and one's got a hydraulic lockup from me trying to put oil in it. So I was cleaning up, coming up here to find some spindles, and I was washing my hands and heard you. Are you getting off work at 5:44?
Yeah, roger that. It was my late day today, so I had to stay till the very end. I just try to get out just a few minutes earlier than all the associates, that way I don't have to deal with the traffic. But, yeah, it was unfortunately my late day. KO4, so yeah.
Well, I guess it works both ways. Sometimes you get an early leave, and sometimes you get a late one, and sometimes you're on time.
Yeah. I mean, most days I get leave, you know, maybe four-ish, but there's at least one day a week where we'll end up staying late, and the other managers in my area kind of share that late day, so, and then Fridays we rotate them a little different. So that way we kind of split it up.
Well, I thought we were going to get the opportunity to put some skis on an airplane and go take off on the snow. You ever done that?
I've never done it. I've seen videos, but it's like this one feels without.
I had an airplane with wheels on it that I bought snow skis for and put them on. They'd be like a skier that, you know, that jumps off of a, you know, a hill, and they've got their skis up toward their nose, and then as they approach the bottom of the hill, they lower the nose. That's the way those skis worked on the airplane. It worked pretty good. And then I had a boat plane that I took off and landed on Lake Robinson. It had a hole like a boat hole, like a V-hole, and wingtip floats. And both of them take off and land on the snow just like any direction you want to go. An open field where there were no trees. W4DJW.
If I get me a plane that had the boat floats on it, but the retrieval is always the thing that I would worry about. Whereas if you don't get a good landing out of it, or, you know, you happen to hit a wave as you're coming in landing and it topples the boat or the plane, the next question is how do you get it back out of the water? So I've never invested in one as cool as they are. Shoot, I thought I was going to get to go flying this last weekend, but, man, we ended up being too windy. It wasn't even worth trying.
Yeah, when I was doing that, I was flying at Blue Ridge Radio Club. They were up there on Lake Robinson. They moved down to below Ware Shoals now, but they were up on Lake Robinson, and we were on a peninsula out there. And they had a boat. They had a clubhouse with a boat. Well, let me check and see what this dog wants. I think she might want to go outside. I don't know, but she's being persistent. W4DJW.
4CF, standing by.
Well, I don't know what she wanted. I think she just wanted to be held. Anyway, now there's her sister wanting to be held, too. Oh, man. Lap dogs.
Got it.
Were you here? Were you around this area when Blue Ridge Club was the Blue Ridge Airplane Club was flying out of Lake Robinson?
Up around here, but, I mean, even back in the day when my dad and I would go somewhere to watch people fly planes, usually it was down in, one place I really knew people did that in Spartanburg was near what, not Bosch, it's kind of on Highway 9 headed out of Spartanburg. It used to be a place where people would go fly their planes. That was the only thing I ever saw. And then, you know, we would always fly street control down at the thing. So I didn't even know that that there were clubs out there for stuff like that, or never really researched it until I heard you and Steve on the radio talking about it.
Okay. Well, that club in Spartanburg, well, I think they're mainly a helicopter club now. I don't know what they were back then. And I thought you were going to say WCRC, which was down there toward Woodruff at 417 and Woodruff Road. And now they're over there at the Mesa Soccer Center. First time I ever went was that WCRC field, and it was in 1964, I think it was. I was 6 years old, maybe 7 years old, 1964. They were just building it.
They used to fly. I know it's across the – it wasn't far from a restaurant on – like I said, it was on Highway 9 going out of Spartanburg. And it was a restaurant called Mullinax's, and it wasn't far from there. people go fly their planes. And I still remember to this day going out there and watching a guy had beautiful balsa wood plane. I mean, he had it skinned and everything else. And he was flying it along, and I don't know if his transmitter went out. I don't know what happened, but he kept flying straight, went straight into trees, and just kind of fell apart. I mean, it just destroyed that plane, and that was it.
Well, back then, they had the really long antennas, not the short ones, and they were flying on 72 megahertz. And that's not that far from 27 megahertz. So when somebody back then, in those days, when somebody would, because the receivers weren't that great either, when somebody with an amplifier on a CB radio came by, they could wreak havoc. And not even know that they're doing it. They're just talking on the radio. But, you know, it's an illegal transmitter. I mean, an illegal amplifier. But I think a lot of people did. I don't think it was policed much back then.
It wasn't policed much. I remember in high school, I had probably after I got out of high school, but I had a 400-watt amplifier for my CB. You know, we used to love playing around on those things. But it ain't nothing like what it used to be even then. You know, there's still a bunch of ruckus on there, but I think it's more so now. But, yeah, I can definitely understand that because mine would put a fluorescent bulb near my whip and it would light it up.
I don't know if you ever check into the Freewheelers Net. It's on 3916 at 7 p.m. No, might be at 6. It might be 3915. It's really close to there, somewhere around that time. And they've got a website, and they've got one of the guys that's he's out there checking into the net, and he's holding a fluorescent light bulb in his hand, standing by his – he's using a handy talkie to crossband to get into 80 meters from whatever frequency he was on his hand. And when he's talking on his handheld and holding that fluorescent light bulb next to his antenna on his truck, it would modulate – the light would modulate at the same it would follow the rhythm of his words as he was talking. It was pretty cool.
Now you got me wondering how you crossband repeat HT to 80 meters for HF radio.
Yeah, crossband repeating is crossband. It's not limited to any two bands. You can crossband on any from one band to another band. You know, as long as you follow the rules, as long as you identify on each frequency, you can crossband from any band to any band.
But in between, you know, like my radio, the FTM-400, is built in. You can just click on it and set a frequency for 70 centimeters, and it'll broadcast it on the 2 meters. But how does that work? Would you use a PC or something to be the bridge?
You can do that. You can use a PC. It's up to you. I mean, manufacturers only do the easy stuff, right? The ham radio operators do the hard stuff. And then once the ham radio operators figure it out, then the manufacturers say, okay, that's easy, and they pick it up and start doing it. So, yeah, ham radio operators can do that. They can use a set of relays. They can use, you know, you can take a signal off of one and put one radio and put it into another radio. The output of one is the input of the other, the audio output, not the signal output, but the audio output. So receive, and you've got audio, and you use that audio and a relay to key up another transmitter on a different band and send that audio over. Right? You don't need a computer. You just need a way to sense the squelch is broken on one radio and key the other radio and then a conduit for the audio, and away you go.
Sense now. So I'm thinking of it kind of like the way, like the mobile link word where you key the radio up and it would listen and then replay it back. So I guess I can understand it now. I never would have thought that if you never mentioned it. I've never even thought about crossband repeat between anything but 70 and 2 meters. I never would have thought it for like 80 meters.
W4DJW. A lot of the things that we do today and we take for granted on 2 meters was done on 80 meters along. Remember when highway patrolmen had big, long whip antennas and they would bend them around to the front bumper and tie them off on the front bumper, but sometimes you'd see them in a chase and it would be going vertical, but the wind would have it bent going backwards? That was 80 meters. That's what they used to talk on. Before repeaters came around, there was no way to get VHF to do what VHF does today. But before, you know, back when my dad was my age and Johnny's dad was his age, they used to use 80 meters the same way we use 2 meters.
That's really interesting. So they were using MBIS for local comms on 80 meters.
Yeah, and the cops were doing it too. And the cops could call across the state. Now, it wasn't, you know, I don't know if you've ever worked 80 meters much, but 80 meters goes long, and then it goes short, and then it goes long, and it's time-dependent on the day, the time of day. So early before, not or, you know, early evening, right, you can, that's one of the things the freewheelers do, is they do pre-net check-ins just like we do, except they've got a guy that's out there doing it, because when the band goes long, you can talk to people in Canada and down in Brazil, but you can't talk to people in your state right next to you. When the band is short, like before it starts getting dark, you can talk to the guy, you know, 3 blocks down the road from your house. So that was always frustrating to police officers or highway patrolmen. It was always frustrating for them that sometimes the radio would work and sometimes it wouldn't. Sometimes they'd have to get it relayed in. And that's when the Palmetto 800 was born. And that's just a set of repeaters on 800 megahertz. Same thing we're doing, just on a different band, W4DJW.
I learned something new today. Never would have thought about that. Now that you mention it, I've, you know, when you get on 3916 and you do the net on there, you know, you'll hear them as the day progresses that it's going long, and I never really thought about what that meant, but now it all makes sense.
Yeah, you had to get in early, and sometimes the net didn't start till the band went long. And that's why Pete down in Texas started doing pre-net check-ins. And then, you know, when he was doing that, he did that for a few years, and that's when I got the idea, we need to do something. That's pretty good, but I'm not going to sit here every night like he does. He didn't have a life, the guy that does the pre-net check-ins. He just, for freewheelers, not the South Carolina single sideband net, which I think is the one you're talking about. I'm talking about the freewheelers, which is like 1 megahertz away, 3915 versus 3916, and it's at a different hour of the day. They do sometimes overlap a little bit, but the freewheelers was the one that I checked into most of the time. And they're the ones that if you didn't get checked in by a certain time, it was gone. You could talk to people in Canada and Brazil, but you couldn't talk to your next-door neighbor.
And that's why I like this hobby so much. It's just little things about it that make it so interesting that you can still learn years after you've been in it.
There is absolutely no end to that. You're 100% correct. You know, if you listen carefully, and that's what I did for the first year that I had my license. I just listened because I knew absolutely nothing. I was totally green. I'm my dad, I grew up around it. But it was always background noise. I was flying airplanes or building dune buggies or cutting grass to get money to buy airplanes. And I didn't pay attention to ham radio. He was all the time on the ham radio, but he did mostly CW. But he did some phone, too, but never paid attention to it. And then when I started doing it, it's like, wow. I could listen for a year and still barely scratch the surface.
Absolutely true. I mean, and that's probably why I enjoy it so much, because if you want to try something out, you can try it. I mean, there's every little facets of it that you can just kind of put your attention in for a little while, see if you like it. Don't like it, move on to something else.
That is so true. I tried satellites too, and I think I spent 2 years working satellites and building me a X and Y, a satellite tracking antenna that knew which satellite was coming up and what, on which horizon and how high up in the sky it was going to be, and it would track them. And I left that thing running for a couple of years till it finally burned itself out. I had 2 small stepper motor drivers on it. I later got some bigger stepper motor drivers, but by that time I was on to something different. That's the beauty of this sport. I think I was building a Genesis radio at that time, a software-defined Genesis radio. The designer... Well, the builder came out of Australia. I think the designer was from Italy.
Light work. I hadn't done it in some time. I can't remember the name of the little module that I bought that does all the tracking. And it interfaced with my Yaesu rotator. And, I mean, it was really nice, you know, to do the elevation and the rotation. And I mean, it did everything. It was great. And then my rotator went out, and I just never found anybody around here to do it. And to send it back to Yaesu was, I think it's at least $100-something. And I'm just, you know, one day I hope to either get a newer rotator or order another one or get that one fixed. And that way I can get back in it. Satellite was fun. I enjoyed it. And there's a few satellites, or there were, probably within 6 months or so ago, whatever it was, where you could actually do FT4 on it. Yeah. They real short transmission, but there were a few people that actually did it, and it was really neat to make a contact off of it.
And talking about the rotor and getting yours fixed, I built mine, and the thing that I had a lot of fun with, I used stepper motors because I thought about using, you know, just brushless motors. But stepper motors, you can very accurately control how fast it's going, how fast it's, and the motor's turning, and how far it turns before it stops. And the thing about the satellites is when they're off on the horizon, right, they're not coming directly over your head, they're pretty simple. They just make a little arch, right? And your antenna is pointed in one, like, east, between east and northeast, and it moves about 20 degrees for that little arc because it's just right over there on the horizon. It's got a pretty big footprint, so you can talk to somebody on the other side, you know, on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, because you're getting the edge of the footprint and they're getting an edge of the footprint, and you can bounce your signal through those edges of that footprint, that the shadow that the satellite, you know, casts on the Earth is when I say footprint. And so you catch an edge and they catch an edge, and you can go a long distance on VHF, you know, halfway around the world. But when it comes up overhead, the thing is, when it comes off the horizon, it's going pretty slow. But when it gets directly overhead, it's going really fast. And then when you have to, the elevation angle is going up, 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 and then it hits directly overhead. And then the elevation angle is going down, 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 down. But the angle goes from east to west all in that 1 degree where it goes from positive 1 degree to negative 1 degree pointing straight up. And you got to whip that thing around the antenna when it's pointing straight up. You got to rotate it 180 degrees really fast and then come down the other side. And that whipping effect, I wrote a program that was called ramp. And it was, how fast can I ramp this antenna starting so it doesn't jerk the whole frame around? I'm going to get going fast. I'm going to take off slow. And as I approach 90 degrees, the halfway point, I'm going to be at maximum velocity rotating it, and then I'm going to start slowing down, going the last 90 degrees till I come to a stop, and then the other axis takes control and starts lowering it as the satellite goes over the horizon. I bet I spent a year on that algorithm, but I got it working, and it didn't rip itself apart. It was hard on the stepper motor drivers. It burned one of those up, but let the magic smoke out of it. But anyway, that was just, I had ton of fun learning how to make a stepper motor be that accurately controlled.
I'd imagine that was a fun project. And the Yaesu, it just flips completely over. So it'll go from one horizon, and you can track it completely overhead, and then flip it all the way over to the other side instead of rotating it around, which was a nice feature. But, once it went out, I just couldn't do it anymore. But it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the satellite work, so. Well, Dave, I'm pulling in the driveway, so I'm going to go ahead and say 7-3. I appreciate you keeping me company on my way home, and hopefully, before long, we'll run into you at the airfield. So, you have a good one. 7-3, KO4CF, and I'll be clear on your final day.
All right, Andrew. I enjoyed it. Good talking to you, and hope you enjoy the rest of your evening, a relaxing evening at home. And, yeah, one of these days, we're going to bump into each other out of the airfield. Hopefully, that's sooner rather than later. KO4CF, W4DJ, W clear.
WB4JAG, WB4JAG, this is KO4QI.
W4JAG, this is your son. Hey, how are you doing, Dad?
People coming in, that's great.
You can't beat it out of just this little 25-watt cheap Yaesu sheet antenna.
I gave you my extra one, right?
That it was your extra that I actually got you for your birthday, I think, 1 year.
It's weird. I can hear be talking in the background as I'm broadcasting.
My phone off too, so using new technology to talk to old technology. Cool. I love you. I'm glad you're feeling better. This is WB4JAG. Sorry. I'll get it right in a minute. Yeah, that was right. WB4JAG out.
KM4QY out.